And if you have your Bibles, I hope you do, or your tablets or your phones or whatever you're going to use, we're going to be in Numbers chapter 10. We're going to start in verse number 29 tonight. Verse number 29. If you'll follow along as I read. Now Moses said to Hobab, the son of Reuel, the Midianite, Moses' father-in-law, we are setting out for the place of which the Lord said, I will give to you. And if you have a Bible and you can underline, underline that next three words, come with us, and we will treat you well. For the Lord has promised good things to Israel. And he said to him, that's Hobab saying to Moses, I will not go, but I will depart to my own land and to my relatives. So Moses said, please do not leave. Inasmuch as you know how we are to camp in the wilderness, and you can be our eyes. And it shall be, if you go with us, indeed it shall be that whatever good the Lord will do to us, the same we will do to you. I've titled tonight's topical teaching, The Invitation to Companionship. The Invitation to Companionship. You see, the Bible is a book full of invitations. All throughout the Bible, there's invitations all over the Bible. You see, God is inviting people to join him. He's inviting us to join him where he is going and what he is doing. Think about that. The God of the universe is inviting us to join him. What a blessing that is. Have you thought about that today? What a blessing it is that God would invite us to go with him. To think God would invite me to go with him is really a blessing too big for words. You see, in this passage, Moses is talking to a man named Hobab. Some think it's Moses' brother-in-law. Others think that Hobab is another name for Moses' father-in-law, Jethro. And I'm leaning towards that because of Judges 4:11. Let me read that for you. Now Heber, the Kenite, of the children of Hobab, the father-in-law of Moses, had separated himself from the Kenites and pitched his tent near the terebinth tree at Zaanim, which is beside Kadesh. So that's what leads me to believe, and that's why I fall into that group where it says that Moses is talking to his father-in-law, Hobab. We know that in Exodus 18, that Jethro had visited Moses and the children of Israel. We know that he had been a blessing and that he had received a blessing. He had also given Moses a great piece of wisdom concerning how he was leading the people of God. If you remember, if you look back in that, you'll see that Moses was trying to do everything, and he was given guidance that he needed to break that apart and have some people helping him. If you read back in the book of Exodus, you'll see that, Exodus 18. But you see, in this passage, where are the Israelites in this passage? Well, you see, in this passage that we've just read in Numbers, Israel is leaving their encampment at the foot of the Mount Sinai. That's where they're at. You see, while they were there, they received what? They received the law, and they built the tabernacle. They also learned how to worship. And you see, now they're getting ready to break camp and head toward the promised land of Canaan. But before they leave, Moses takes the time to invite Jethro, or Hobab, to go with them to their destination, the land of Canaan. You see, in these verses, there's several aspects of the invitation that he's given out. There's a word here for the church tonight. You see, there's a word here for those that are outside the church also. There's a word here for all of us tonight, you and me, every one of us. So that's what we're going to take a look at tonight in this short passage of the book of Numbers. Number one, in verse number 29, I've broken it down and it says, come share in our pilgrimage. You see, that's what Moses is saying to Hobab. Come share in our pilgrimage. It says, now Moses said to Hobab, the son of Reuel, the Midianite, Moses' father-in-law, we are setting out for the place of which the Lord has said, I will give to you. Come with us, and we will treat you well. For the Lord has promised good things to Israel. You see, a special people, Moses uses two little words, and if you can't underline those things, us and we. Moses uses those words. He is inviting his father-in-law to join a special group of people. The children of Israel were special because they were a chosen people. It says so in Deuteronomy 7:6. It says, for you are a people holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you out of all the peoples on the face of the earth to be his people, his treasured possession. But you see, they were also a redeemed people, and we see that in Exodus 15:13. It says, if your unfailing love, you will lead the people you have redeemed. To your strength, you will guide them to your holy dwelling. You see, we as children of God, believers, are special people also. We looked at that just 2 weeks ago on a Wednesday night when I had the opportunity to teach. Again, it says, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ tonight, you are special. Did you hear that? You're a special person. We need to take that in and think about that. We are special. Why? Because we've been chosen by God. You're special because you've been redeemed by Jesus. I love 1 Peter 2:9, and we looked at it just a couple weeks ago, and 1 Peter 2:9 says this, but you are a chosen people, chosen by God, people, offspring of Jesus, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession. If you don't have 1 Peter 2:9 in your Bible underlined, it should be, because we are that special, chosen possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness. We talked about that darkness that we were in, that total darkness where you can't even see, that's how dark it was, into his wonderful light. And we talked about that word light being God's pure light, God's brilliant pure light. You see, we are that special people. Please remember that tonight as you leave, that you are God's special possession. When you're having a tough time tomorrow, I'm God's special possession. He called me. You know, on Sunday we sang that song, I'm a Friend of God. It's one of my favorite songs because I'm a friend of God. He calls me friend. That blows my mind, that the creator of the universe calls me friend. I hope that says something to you tonight, that the God of the universe calls you friend. But you see, a special place. Moses invites his father-in-law to join them on their journey to the land that God has promised to them. Exodus 3:8 says this, so I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, the mosquito bites. It's not in there, so don't write that down. He called them out. You see, it was a land of blessing and victory. You see, some 20 times in the Bible, Canaan is referred to as a land of milk and honey. It was a good place. It was to be their place. Moses says to Hobath, come with us. Come with us. What does that mean? You see, we're also headed to that special place. Oh, it's not a place of milk and honey, but it's a place of peace and joy and that sinless perfection. You see, it's that land of blessing where none of the problems and the afflictions of earth are going to follow us. We've been studying that on Sundays as we've been through the book of Revelation. We're saying, Jesus, come. I just heard a teacher on our radio station say, if you're a firm believer, in the morning you ought to get up and say, Jesus, it's okay if you come today. It's okay. Are you saying that? I hope you are. It's okay if you come right now. If I don't get to finish, that's okay with me. We'll see you up there. We'll go home. We're going to go home. It's a special place. But you see, also, it's a special privilege. You see, Hobath, Moses' father-in-law, he's not part of that people. He's not part of the covenant of Israel. He's not part of the promises God has made to Israel. But you see, Moses has that privilege of inviting Hobath to join them, to share in their blessings. Moses has the privilege to say, come with us, and what belongs to us will become yours too. He says, come with us. But how does that relate to us? How can we take that with us tonight? You see, that's our privilege as well. That's our privilege. We have the honor. Did you catch that? We have the honor of sharing and inviting those around us. Come with us. Come with us. Salvation is something that's to be shared with others. You see, we give it away without lessening the value of what we have. Did you catch that? When you give something away, you lose the value. But you see, with your salvation, when you give your salvation away to someone, it doesn't lose any value. You gain. You gain. If I have $100, which I don't, and I gave five people $20 each, and I'm not going to, you see, then I've shared what I have. I have nothing left. My pockets are empty. They're empty anyways. But if I share my faith and invite someone who doesn't know Jesus to come with us, you see, I've given away what I have, but I haven't lost anything in that process. I've increased that value of what I have because I've laid up a treasure in heaven. We have a neighbor. We had a neighbor. And several years ago, as my wife and my family, we were getting ready to leave for Christmas vacation. We were packing the car. It was Christmas Eve, in fact. And we were getting ready to go, and I was out in the front yard packing the car and getting ready to go. And my neighbor across the street, Francis, rode his bike over. He said, hey, how you doing? I'm saying, good, we're getting ready to leave. And Francis had been determined that he had brain cancer. And they operated on Francis, and they took out a little tumor. But you see, Francis knew deep down that he didn't have a long time to live. Because he knew that he had brain cancer, and he knew that he was getting up in age, and he was starting to fail. But he came over on the porch just before we were leaving, and we were talking, and I said, Francis, how you doing? He says, oh, I'm okay, but I know that I don't have a lot of time left. I said, okay. And he said, I wish I knew what would happen. And I said, well, Francis, you can know. And you see, that day, Francis accepted Christ on my front porch. And Francis is in heaven tonight, rejoicing, dancing, having a great time. You see, I was able to give away my salvation that day. I didn't lose anything. You see, let me say that when inviting people to come with us, it is more than a privilege. You see, it's really an obligation that we have. Are we living up to that obligation to share our faith? You see, that's an obligation that we have. As we move through this life, as we travel through this life, we are commanded to share with those who don't have what we have. We're commanded to invite people to come with us. Are you inviting people to come with us? Hey, come with us. Hey, come check out our church. Come with us. Hey, come check out Jesus. Come with us. We're commanded. We have an obligation to do that. Number one, come share in our pilgrimage. Number two, come share in our partnership. Oh, come share in our partnership. You see, come join our family. In verse number 29, come with us. Since Hobath is not a part of Israel, he's outside of that covenant relationship with God. And he's a lost man. He's cut off from the blessings and the promises of the Lord. He has no hope of salvation apart from accepting that invitation that Moses has given him, becoming part of the nation of Israel. So Moses invites him to join the family. You see, there's no salvation, we know this, outside Jesus. We can't be saved by joining the church. No, we can't be saved by observing rituals of the church. We can't be saved by being baptized. We know that. We know that salvation can only be found in that personal relationship. That's why we need to share with others. Come with us. Come with us. There's no hope of heaven without that personal relationship with Jesus. When the Bible says you must be born again, that's that moment in time when you look to Jesus by faith. You trust him as your Savior by faith. You make that U-turn. You're walking that way. You make a U-turn and you walk back towards Jesus. When you do that, you become part of the family. You know, as that family member, as we become part of a family, we're entitled to all the rights and the privileges of all the children of God. You know, my children have keys to my house. They don't live at my house anymore, but they have keys to my house. They have privileges to come in and open up the door, to come into the house anytime they want, to empty out my refrigerator anytime they want, to eat my ice cream. And I'll let them do that. Membership. You see, they are part of the family. And when we accept Jesus, we're adopted into his family. My daughter works for 4Kids, a foster care organization here in Fort Lauderdale. And she's had so many opportunities to go to court to watch parents who have been foster kids to a child adopt that child into their family. What a blessing that is, because now that child has all the same privileges of the family that everybody else does. They're adopted into that family. That's what we are. Could you think about that? We are adopted into Jesus' family. Amen. We are adopted. Membership has its privileges. Come thou with us, Moses is saying. Come with us. Join our fellowship. Moses is telling Hobath, if you come with us, we're going to treat you right. God is blessing us. We're going to share those blessings with you. We're not going to hurt you. We're going to do our best to be that blessing towards you, to you. Moses is saying two things to Hobath. He's saying, you need us. Oh, you see, if Hobath wants to be saved and enjoy the blessings of the Lord, then he's going to have to go with Israel. We have a lady on Saturdays that we see almost every Saturday, she comes to church and sits in the front row. Her name is Jean. And Jean is a Jewish lady, but she never misses a Saturday at our church service. And on Saturday, the leader of our group, Rich, had the opportunity to just sit and talk with Jean for a few minutes. And Jean is just that close to giving her life to Jesus. So close. But you know why she can't? She can't give up that Jewish heritage. She just can't get over it. I want you to pray for Jean this week, because we're going to see her on Saturday, that she'll give in, that she'll let loose, and that she'll let Jesus come in. We had another lady sitting next to her. Her name is Millie. Millie is Jewish also. But you see, about a year and a half ago, Millie accepted Jesus. And Millie never misses a Saturday now. And I watched her on Saturday as we had communion. I saw her taking communion. And I thought to myself, wow, what a miracle that is. What a miracle. Come with us. Moses is telling Hobab, come with us. We have what you need. You see, we need you. He says in verse number 31, it says, so Moses says, please do not leave. Inasmuch as you know how we are to camp in the wilderness, and you can be our eyes. You see, the desert where they were at, where they were going to travel, was Hobab's home territory. And you see, we know where he knew where the best campsites were. He knew where they were located. He knew where the best trails could be found. You know, remember, they're moving millions of people in a group. So they needed some direction, needed some help. And Moses knew that. He said, Hobab, come. You know the best places to go, the best trails. He knew where all the watering holes were. Moses said, we will be a blessing to you, and you will be a blessing to us. Come with us. Come with us. Come with us. You need us. We need you. Why do people need us today? The church should be able to offer things that they can't find in the world. I think we do that. I think we do a pretty good job of that. It's a couple of the things. Here's just three things. Someone who genuinely cares for them. We need to be a church of people who generally care for people. Because Romans 15, 1 and 2 says, we ought to be strong enough to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Each of us should please our neighbors for their good, to build them up. We need to be there for them. We need to be there. We need to care about them. We need to know enough, hey, what's going on in your life? When we sit in the room back there in fellowship, have a cup of coffee, we find somebody to sit next to. Hey, what's going on in your life? How can I pray for you? You see, we need to care for people. People need to know that we care for them. Well, we also need to be there to carry their burdens if we have to. Why do I say that? Well, Galatians 6:2 says this, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. Did you catch that? It says carry. Well, that word carry, it means to bear. Bear what is burdensome, to sustain, to uphold, support. You see, we're supposed to be there. We're supposed to support others who are under burdens. We're supposed to be there for them. That's what our job is the church. Are we doing that? I think we are, but I think we could do better. I think we could always do better. I know I can. We need to come alongside people sometimes. It refers to the physical and the spiritual aspects. It means that if we have that means to meet a need in someone's life, then we should do it. But it also means that we're to pray for one another and to get under that load, help them carry that burden. Help them carry that burden. It says in Ephesians 6:18, and it says, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. I think that's so important that as we have our prayer time every day, that, man, we just remember those in the church. Pray for somebody in the church. Pray for Pastor Ken and Wendy. Pray for me, my wife. Pray for Lily and Andrew, because they drive a long ways every service. Pray for their safety. Pray for those that are serving the worship teams and the people are setting up and children's ministry and all those things. Remember those people in prayer. You see, we're called to do that. always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. But you see, also, the church should also show people love unconditionally. Matthew 22:39 says, love your neighbor as yourself. You see, there's far more that people should find in church than just those three, but I think those are three pretty good ones. They should be able to find fellowship when they come here. They should be able to find acceptance when they come here. They should be able to find a family when they come here. And I think they do. But can we do better? Well, I think we can. We should be able to say to every person who comes into this church, we will do thee good. Come with us. That should be our goal. But why do we need to do that? Well, you see, when God saves a sinner, when God saves and somebody becomes a believer and they come here to church, well, they're coming here to fulfill that spiritual gift maybe that God has given them, whatever that gift might be. You see, we need to encourage people when they come. Maybe it's in worship. Maybe they have the gift of setting up. Maybe they have the gift of sound and engineering. Greeters, ushers, children's ministry, hospitality, convalescent ministry. You see, there's a lot of different ministries that people can get into, but people need to find what that spiritual gift is. And we need to help them. That's why they need the church. That's why we need them to come in when they become believers. The church needs to say, come with us. We'll do you good. Number two was come share in our partnership. Number three, come share in our promises. Oh, come share in our promises. It says, as Moses speaks to Hobab, he tells him, the Lord has promised good things to Israel. He's inviting Hobab to come and share in those great blessings that God has promised to Israel. So when we say to someone, come with us, we're inviting them to take part of those great promises that God has given to us. What are some of those promises? Well, come share the promises of a home. You know, see, just as the wilderness was not the final destination for the tribe of Israel as they were going along, where they were wasn't their final destination. This destination for us is not our final home. Where we are now is not our final destination. We're merely passing through down here. We know that. We're headed to a much better place, a much better land. Amen? I hope you say amen to that. We are given just that little glimpse of the book as we've gone through the book of Revelation. We've looked at that on the last many Sundays, and we looked at it. It's a land of worship. Heaven is a land of worship. It's a land where believers will praise their redeemers. Are you ready for that? I'm ready to hear Andrew sing all the time. Play the piano and praise the Lord. I'm ready for my dad to play the trumpet all the time. Amen. It's going to be a great day. And if he comes in the next 5 minutes, great. We'll leave all the mess in the room back there. Somebody else will take care of it. Are you excited about the Lord coming back? Amen. Amen. We need to be excited. It's a land of worship. It's a land of wonders, as we learned about last Sunday. It's a land where there's walls of jasper, gates of pearl, foundations of 12 precious stones, streets made of transparent gold. We talked about that the streets are gold like they're asphalt now down here. Gold. But you know what is mostly, you know, we can look at all that and say, wow, it's going to be great. We learned that there's going to be no sea up there, no seafood to eat up there, and I'm not unhappy about that at all. That's okay with me. That's okay with me. No seafood. But did you think about what the most precious thing is? The most precious thing is that we're going to spend our eternity with Jesus. Everything else is going to be a sidebar. We're going to spend time worshiping and praising Jesus forever and ever and ever and ever and keep going forever. That's the land of wonders. It's a land of wellness. There's no more tears, no more pain, no more suffering, no more sickness, no more death. We know that. No more problems, no more burdens when we get there. You see, Moses is saying in verse number 29, we'll give it to you. It's that promise. Moses is inviting Hobath to rest on those promises of the Lord. Moses is saying, there's a hope for tomorrow. The Lord himself has promised us there's better things down the road. You see, that's the hope of us as believers. This world that we live in is full of heartaches. We know that. Trials, troubles, sickness, pain, death, separation, hardship. But we know, praise God, that there is a better day coming. That's going to be a day of rest when we can rest as children of God. We're going to lay down the burdens of our life. We're going to enter that place of peace and rest and safety. Never be troubled again. Day of rest. There's going to be a day of reunion. There's going to be that happy day when we can see those that went before us. I'll see my mom and my dad and my grandmothers, my grandfathers, my father-in-law, our little one who didn't make it. We're going to see them all. They're all up there. We're going to have that day of reunion. I know you guys have lost loved ones. We're going to see our family members again. Amen. There's going to be that day of reward. As we've, those of us that have served in that faithful silence, you know, God hasn't missed out on a thing. He knows everything that's going on. He knows everything that's going on. He knows every prayer that you prayed, and he knows every time maybe you've missed a meal to pray, the sacrifices that you've made. He knows it all. He's going to say, well done, good and faithful service. Those rewards, we're going to cast them at his feet. I say it again. The most wondrous thing about heaven is that we are going to spend eternity with Jesus. That's the most wonderful thing. We can think of all the other things that are going to be there. That's the most wonderful thing. Moses is also saying, come share the promise of a help. Moses tells Hobath that God has spoken good concerning Israel. What he's really saying is the Lord did not redeem us to abandon us in the wilderness. He will go with us. He will bless us. He will help us on our way to the promised land. I think that's so important for us to remember, because God has saved us. And he didn't save us to put us off to one side. He's always there with us. He wants to be there with us all the time. You see, he's promised to sustain us. Just as he fed Israel in the wilderness with the manna, the quail, he's going to take care of us, his children. Now, we may not have exactly what we want. I'm still looking out there for that 2018 Ford Mustang, and it's still not there. But that's okay. I'll settle for my Honda Accord. But you know what? He's going to take care of us. He's going to bless us. He's promised to sanctify us. He set Israel apart and made them a holy, separate people. And he did that same thing when he saved you and I. He made us that new creature. He expects us to walk in newness of life. Did you catch that? That's in Romans 6:4. He expects us to walk in newness of life. That's what he expects. Are we doing that? Are we walking in newness of life? We don't have to live like this world lives anymore. We're different because he has enabled us to be different. Are you different tonight? He's promised to satisfy us. Israel never was satisfied with what they received from the hand of God. Did you realize that? They got the manna, they got the quail, they got the water, and what did they do? They complained. Oh, Moses, why didn't you bring us out here? We could have been back there having leeks and garlic and onions. But they didn't remember that they were getting beat. They were in slavery. They didn't remember any of that. But they were complaining. You see, they weren't satisfied with what God was giving them. But see, no matter how much they were given, they always wanted more. As believers, we need to learn how to be satisfied. Are you satisfied in the Lord? Are you satisfied in Him? He calls us to be satisfied in Him. And then He's promised to secure us. God did what He promised, and He brought Israel safely through to the promised land. And like I'll say it again, God didn't save you to lose you. He didn't save you to lose you. He saved us for that purpose. He saved us for a purpose. And then He saved us to deliver us to heaven. He saved us for keeps. Write that in your Bible. He saved us for keeps. Put that on your mirror. He saved us for keeps. He saved us for good. You see, when Hobath heard the invitation, what was his first response? Well, his first response was to say, no, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going with you. I'm going back to my family. We find that he changed his mind and went though. Because we see in Judges 1:16, it says, the descendants of Moses, his father-in-law, the Kenite, went up from the city of Palms with the people of Judah to live among the inhabitants of the desert of Judah in the Negev and near Arad. See, Hobath went with Moses. He changed his mind. He accepted the invitation. He was blessed along with Israel, just as Moses promised he would be. So that's your invitation for today. Come with us. Share with others. Share with others. Come with us to heaven if you're not saved. Come to Jesus and be saved. Come with us as we serve the Lord. He'll bless you. He'll bless us by your being in our presence. Come with us as we move along in the future of our church. Come with us. Come with us. Maybe He's spoken to you tonight. Maybe He's spoken to you about some promise or problem that you're facing tonight. Bring it to Him. Bring it to Him tonight. Maybe He's spoken with you about sharing with somebody else. Come with us. I think it would be great. You know, we encourage prayer requests back there in the tithe box or on for prayer. We encourage you to put in prayer requests. I'm going to encourage you tonight to write down a name of someone that you know that needs Jesus. Just the first name. That's all we need. And put it in a tithe box. Maybe it's a family member. Maybe it's a friend. Maybe it's a neighbor. Maybe it's a coworker. Maybe it's the cashier at Publix. And when you turn those in, we're going to turn those over to our prayer committee. And they're going to pray for those names for salvation. Now, here's your obligation. If you do that and you find out that they became a believer, you got to let us know so we can rejoice. I'll challenge you to do that on tonight, Sunday. Maybe you need to think about it tonight. Maybe on Sunday you'd be ready to put a name in there. Don't need any last names, just a first name. I know our prayer committee would love to pray for those names as we go forward. Share with someone this week. The other day I had the privilege to pray with a neighbor. She's not a believer, but she was telling me some stuff. And I said, well, can I pray for you tonight? Can I pray for you? We prayed right there. When you have that opportunity, take just a moment to pray with someone. It really does mean something. You're planting that seed, planting a seed. Someone else may come by and water it. Pray for Jean this week as we see her on Saturday, that her heart might be softened for the gospel. Let's pray. Father, we thank you tonight for this simple little story. But there's so much in it, Father, that we can look at tonight. Father, help us as we leave here, as we leave this church, as we leave this property. We're going out into the mission field here in Broward County. Father, help us to find that person that needs that word spoken to them tomorrow. Come with us. Come with us. Come to Jesus. Come learn about him. Come accept him. Father, help us. Be with us now as we have just a little bit of fellowship, Father. We thank you for that. We pray that you would bless the food. We pray that you would take us all home safe tonight and that you'd bring us back on Sunday to serve, to fellowship, to learn from your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.